It's not the period of his life that most people think of.
No, no. It's a very obscure period, which is why I sort of wrote about it. Yeah. Very few people know that he worked on Gone with the Wind, mm-hmm. for instance.
There's a lot of great Hollywood trivia.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he lived at the Garden of Allah, and his among his neighbors are Dorothy Parker and mm-hmm. Humphrey Bogart and S.J. Perelman, who's writing for the Marx Brothers. So it's always a wild time there by the pool.
Yeah, it's so much fun to see those people come and go just casually. Oh, there's Bogey. There's Dorothy Parker.
Well, I mean, not just casual. They're his friends. They're some of his closest friends because for years he hasn't had a home. He's been sort of peripatetic since putting Zelda into the asylum. And so finally he's among people that know him and respect him and understand that he's not sort of a raging alcoholic. He's actually a very talented and charming guy.
Well, but he's also kind of a raging alcoholic.
I don't know if raging. He's super highly functioning. He's that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. When he's sober, he's the most proper gentleman in the world. He's just a sweetheart. And when he's drunk, he's terrible and violent and awful.
So those two extremes of his personality, is that one of the things that made him attractive as a character?
No, I don't think so. I think it's that he suffered the worst. In 1935 and 36, he's living in North Carolina on his own. He's drinking a lot. He's really not working a whole lot. All he does is hang around hoping Zelda is going to get better. And he's just crushed. Everything has gone wrong. He's at the very, very bottom. And at this point, when he has nothing, he decides, I have to do something. I have to sort of come back, and he does. He makes this amazing comeback, which is sadly cut short by a heart attack. But that resilience, that ability to endure after the worst has happened, I think that fits with a lot of my characters.
I mean, do you feel like that's a personal virtue, or is that also kind of an artistic virtue? Is that there's so much suffering in this story, and it kind of goes hand in hand with this idea that great art comes from great suffering. Do you subscribe to that?
No, not at all. I subscribe more to Flaubert's dictum of, be a bourgeois and predictable in your daily life so you can be wild and unpredictable in your art. No, in this case, it's just the suffering, it comes with it. It's the initial condition is suffering here, and it's overcoming it through art and through friendship and through love and through hope and just the beauty of the world. I mean, Los Angeles at that time is just a gorgeous, gorgeous place. And it's a romantic time. There's all this glamour around him and he's busy. He wakes up early and he writes short stories that end up in Esquire, the Pat Hobby stories, which are hilarious, great comedy. We forget that he's a great comic writer.
Yeah.
Then he goes to the studio and he writes all day on the screenplays. And then after work, he's trying, in the middle of all the sort of raucous partying at the Garden of Allah, he's trying to put together the notes for The Last Tycoon. And I think in the end, sadly, he worked himself to death.
Yeah.
Because he just tried to do too much. He got a lot done out there compared to, say, the 5 or 6 years before that. And a lot of it is so, so good. But it was just too much for him.
And he's just under enormous financial pressure this whole time.
And he digs himself out. When he goes to Hollywood, he's massively in debt to his agent. He's been taking advances for stuff that he hasn't written yet. And he does. He digs himself out of the hole. And he buys himself time to write at least what he did write of The Last Tycoon. So a lot of people see this as like a waste of his time or a waste of his talent. But no, this was the only way out for him. Yeah. And he took it and he did it and it was hard.
I'm interested in how you develop Fitzgerald as a character against this sort of type that's in everyone's mind.
It's hard because people hang on to that Fitzgerald that they think they know.
Well, and one of the places where there was a lot of tension for me was that you emphasized that he's like this very cautious driver, which is so much at odds with the sort of fast cars and fast living of Gatsby and the Jazz Age and everything. How do you find these details? There's a tremendous amount of research went into this. Tell me about your process.
There's a lot of documentation on Fitzgerald, and mostly the letters were the most help. But early on in his life, he witnessed an accident at Princeton late at night in which one of his dining club colleagues was killed. Mm-hmm. And from then on, he was terrified. He was fascinated but terrified of automobiles and what they could do. Remember, he grows up in the late 1890s. There and in a lot of the towns that he lived in, like Buffalo and Syracuse, there weren't a whole lot of automobiles. So they're kind of a novelty to him. They changed America, of course. And so historically, he is known as a really terrible and a really slow driver. And so I figured I'd work that in dramatically.
He seems so vulnerable. That's another way in which I'm not used to thinking about Fitzgerald.
Well, that takes you back to the crack-up, in which he talks about all the blows of life, the big blows and the little blows. And by the time that you realize that they've broken you down, it's too late. Mm-hmm. What you were has been taken away from you, and you have to start from nothing there. And, at this point in his life, he's that early fame, that early success is long, long gone. He's been in debt essentially since about 1924. From before Gatsby, yeah. He's been in debt.
I'm curious if you saw the most recent Gatsby adaptation.
Yes, I did. Yeah, the Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, typical Baz Luhrmann. And, you know, I think it kind of worked. I mean, it's ironic that, you know, what we prize about Baz Luhrmann is what Fitzgerald kind of denounces.
Yeah.
But, you know, the party scene has got to be – it's great, I think. And I need that energy. The great thing about Gatsby as a book is that, as Maureen Corrigan says, you know, every chapter is a party. It's a different kind of party. Even the end, the funeral, mm-hmm. is a kind of party there. And so Luhrmann treats almost everything as a party, so it kind of fits. I kind of liked it. It had more life in it than the Robert Redford Mia Farrow one, which is just, yeah. Oh my God, it's just leaden.
So you're back home and you're doing some readings. You're doing a master class, I understand.
Yeah, over at Point Park University. I'm going to be there on Wednesday, and I'll also be doing a public reading at 6 o'clock.
Okay, at Point Park.
At Point Park University, yes. And you can find that online.
Great.
All the details for that. I'm also, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be at the Mount Lebanon Public Library. And we're going to do a Bigby reading there. And I want to give a shout out to Leslie Raines over at East End Book Exchange. We did our first Pittsburgh reading there back on February 7th. And East End Book Exchange, great local store. Mm-hmm. You know, support your local independent. Got to love it. And also at my church, Calvary Episcopal Church, the bookstore there has copies of it available. And I just did a signing there last weekend. So they got lots of copies, and I'll gladly sign.
Well, Stuart, thank you for dropping by again.
Thanks, Josh.